We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
You know, most Americans believe the country's heading in the wrong direction. All the polls show that, and by a wide margin. And one of the big reasons we are heading in the wrong direction is lack of accountability. Politicians and others are getting away with a lot. And the reason it is easier to be a miscreant is that the corrupt media doesn't really cover the news anymore. It does not tell you the truth. It's ideological. It slants the news. It spins the news. All right, which is why we do the no-spin news. Anyway, the reason this is happening is because money has taken over from professionalism, and I'm speaking generally, but you know, because we've done a lot of reporting on this, in the media. And that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. This is a very interesting story. So on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, I wrote a column. That's a Sunday. And the column said that on network TV, ABC, CBS, NBC, there are literally no conservative or traditional voices heard. They've been banned. We're talking late night TV, early morning TV. We're talking the newscasts. You will not find a conservative voice on those three networks. And we told you in the column, it's because of the management. Okay, they don't hire people. And they won't even book a guest most of the time. Particularly if the guest supports Donald Trump. So 6 days later, after that column, all right, NBC announces it has hired Ronna McDaniel, the former head of the Republican National Committee, as a pundit. You're going to pay her to be on their air. Okay, almost immediately, there was a revolt among NBC News personnel, objecting to the hiring of Ms. McDaniel. And almost immediately, the president of NBC News, Rebecca Blumenstein, panicked and folded and said, Ms. McDaniel will never appear on MSNBC, just on NBC News. That did not calm the liberal employees of NBC News. So yesterday, Ms. McDaniel showed up on Meet the Press and was immediately grilled by Kristen Welker. Go.
Did you not have a responsibility as the RNC chair to say before January 6th, the election is not rigged, that Donald Trump lost, given that there were audits, given that there were more than 60 court cases that occurred all across the country, and that Donald Trump lost?
The reality is Joe Biden won. He's the president. He's the legitimate president. I have always said, and I continue to say, there were issues in 2020. I believe that both can be true.
Okay, so the crux of the matter is that Ms. McDaniel made a mistake by trying to influence people not to certify the electoral votes in January of 2021. That was a mistake on her part. Should she be canceled forever because of that? Banished because of that? According to the NBC personnel, yes. So she made a mistake. She now admits that Joe Biden won the election. But no, no. You make that mistake, you're gone. Canceled, out, banished. Okay, according to these people at NBC. But interestingly enough, if you are on the left side of the spectrum and make a mistake, no, that's okay. That's all right. So in a sane world, Miss McDaniel admits her mistake, but you can have an opinion that the election of 2020 was flawed. You can't say it is fact, which is what she did and others did. You say it is fact, that's wrong, and the huge judgment against the Fox News channel proves that. You can say, it's my opinion that there was something wrong in that election. Look, Mark Zuckerberg pumped hundreds of millions of dollars into a few American counties. It's never been explained where that money went. Yeah, I got some questions about that. Because I hold that opinion, should I be canceled? Yes, absolutely, on the part of the networks. So this was pretty bold. Chuck Todd, who was fired as Meet the Press anchor because of low ratings and his sneering condescension toward anybody who wasn't agreeing with him, he went on right after Ronna McDaniel with Kristen Welker. Roll the tape.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience.
Well, that's true. NBC is hemorrhaging viewers. I mean, MSNBC, they don't even get 2 million people in prime time to watch it. It's insane. Like 120 million homes with TV in America, they can't even get 2 million. That's how bad it is. So, yeah, they'd like to get some Republicans to watch them. That's why they hired. It's like, and plus, guys like me are hammering them for being 100% liberal network. All right. So they go, oh, no, we have Ronna McDaniel. All right. But Ms. Welker's participation in all this is fascinating as well. Let's go back to the debate, the GOP debate, on November 8th, 2023, where Kristen Welker was one of the moderators. Roll it.
Kristen, I'm going to use this time because this is actually about you in the media and the corrupt media establishment. Ask you the Trump-Russia collusion hoax that you pushed on this network for years. Was that real or was that Hillary Clinton made up disinformation?
There you go. Welker didn't have any answer for that. NBC News embraced the phony Russian collusion thing at a level that has never been seen because of MSNBC. Every night, they convicted the Trump organization, the Trump campaign, Donald Trump himself, of colluding with Russia. Every blanking night, they did it. So they should cancel themselves, right? Right? Didn't they push a false narrative? Of course they did. So if Ronna McDaniel pushed a false narrative, which she did, I'm not making an equivalency here. I'm just showing a hypocrisy. And it really is, really is. So I wrote a message of the day on BillO'Reilly.com about this thing to clarify it in very specific ways. But you get it. NBC is in serious trouble. When the inmates, to use a cliche, run the asylum, you've lost control. Okay, we really have. And that's the memo. Almost 200,000 migrants crossed into the USA in February, in the middle of winter, cold. There they come. Biden could do something, doesn't do it. Doesn't even work, doesn't care. Said it a million times, and a million times it's true. All right, let's go to Donald Trump. We got a break today. An appeals court in New York State says you don't have to pay a half billion dollars, just to pay $175 million in bond. He has 10 days to come up with the $175 million. I don't know. I guess he could do it. I don't know. I do know that trying to get, they being the Trump lawyers, the whole New York State case, which is a civil case, okay, into the federal system, saying this is cruel and unusual punishment, Eighth Amendment, all of that. But today was a good day for Donald Trump. On the other front, hush money. The trial is supposed to start April 15th. Okay, now this is a criminal trial in New York. The other one, the other judgment was civil. This would be criminal. Okay, that Trump forged documents to cover up Stormy Daniels. You know the whole thing. But there's going to be appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal after appeal. Now remember, this case is in Manhattan. So Trump has no chance. He has no chance in Manhattan, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C. The case never would have been brought in 30 states. But in Manhattan, if the trial does start on April 15th, Trump is guilty. He has no chance at all in this.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. So joining us now is a Penny's defense attorney, Thomas Kenneth, law firm of Reiser Kenneth. A couple of facts about you, counselor. You took the case after a Give, Send, Go fund was set up. It's raised more than $3 million, so you're getting paid. Your firm's getting paid. Nothing wrong with that. All right? But people were generous enough to help Daniel Penny. So as you go into the trial, it's going to come up fast, 6 months from now, less. Have you seen all the discovery in the case so far? Have you seen everything that the police have?
At this point, we have very voluminous discovery. I'll point out that we originally took Mr. Penny's case on as pro bono because both my partner, Stephen Razor, and I are Iraq war veterans, and Mr. Penny being a Marine. And we set up the Give, Send, Go campaign within the firm. Of course, we could never know it was going to be as successful as it was. It wound up taking off and raising millions of dollars.
So you have not seen what Bragg's office is going to present, even though they had to present it to a grand jury. You're privy to that, right?
We're privy. I mean, we first of all, we saw the transcripts of the whole grand jury presentation, about 550 pages of testimony, from including about a dozen individuals who were on the train. And that was probably the most eye-opening thing.
Let me stop you there because I want to walk through this. Did any of the individuals in the subway car, according to the grand jury testimony, say that your client, Daniel Penny, was hostile, aggressive, should not have done what he did? Do they have witnesses that are going to come in and say, hey, Penny killed him and he shouldn't have done it?
They don't. The closest they have to that is one individual who has approaching 50 prior criminal convictions, had just been convicted and sentenced for bludgeoning one of his friends with a baseball bat about a year
before.
That's
all they have.
He was not in the subway car, but walked up
so they
as
have
the incident was already. Yeah.
According to the grand jury testimony, they have nothing. They have nobody pointing a finger at your client. Why then did the grand jury indict?
So those who understand the grand jury process, and I've been practicing criminal law as a prosecutor, defense attorney for over 20 years in this city, the standard that a grand jury applies is reasonable cause. That's lower than the standard a police officer would need to summons you on the street for a petty offense. Moreover, a grand jury is comprised of 23 individuals. Only 12 of those 23 have to vote to indict, unlike a criminal trial where you obviously need a unanimous verdict. In addition, in a grand jury, the defense plays no role. The only time a defense attorney would be anywhere near the grand jury would be if the defendant is testifying, which almost never happens.
With 500 pages of testimony and no one pointing the finger at your client as being the aggressor or out of line here, it seems to me that it's almost impossible. But it is New York City, okay? And this is not really America anymore. Now, on your side, you're going to be able to bring in a bevy of witnesses, I assume. They're going to say they feared for their life, that they thought this Jordan Neely was a dangerous character and that your client, Penny, did the right thing in protecting them. I assume you have that locked down, right?
Absolutely. It's overwhelming. I mean, it's locked down, one, because it's already been testified to in the grand jury, so no one could run away from it, not that they'd want to. And secondly, I mean, it's really going to be the district attorney, it's going to be incumbent upon them to call these witnesses. And if they don't, then obviously we have subpoena power.
Yeah,
so we're not
going
to have any issue with
witnesses.
That regard.
Okay. Yeah. How many people approximately do you have that are going to testify that Daniel helped them? How many?
There are, as I said, there are approximately a dozen witnesses, give or take a couple, that
so
are
you guys,
going to tell you, overwhelmingly.
I got it. So you have, in a court going in October, 12 Americans that are going to say, we were afraid of this guy. He was at the level where anything could have happened. And you have one convicted felon who wasn't even on the train saying the opposite. So it seems to me that any district attorney faced with on the record, because all this on the record, would drop the case. Doesn't that seem to you that any honest district attorney would?
Particularly in light of what we've seen in just in the last few weeks, right? The incident in Brooklyn, before that there were the shootings in the subways in the Bronx, and in the immediate aftermath of this incident, about a week later, there was a case in Brooklyn. You would hope, and I still have some hope that somehow, some way, the cooler heads will prevail and this case won't have to go to trial.
Could the judge in the case dismiss it before it goes to trial?
So we have already submitted and had the judge rule on motions to dismiss. They were denied, obviously, or we still wouldn't be here. But you have to remember, the judge, and I like the judge in this case, I've tried cases in front of him before, he's a very good judge, but he is constrained by the same legal standard that the grand jury is constrained by. So he has to review it based on that standard. And the old cliche, you can indict a ham sandwich. It may be a cliche, but it's pretty accurate. So, getting an indictment dismissed is next to impossible.
Remember, and I'm sure you do, Bragg pulled this in a bodega owner and charged him, and it was obvious because they had it on
Jose tape, Alba.
Right, that the bodega owner was defending himself against an armed criminal. And Bragg charged him, Alba, but then dropped it because of the public outcry. And I think the public outcry on Penny is going to be even worse. So here's the final question, and I don't want you to be a psychiatrist, but certainly you're a savvy defense attorney. The villain here, in addition to the deceased, Jordan Neely, okay, is Alvin Bragg, the district attorney. He didn't have to do this. Do you have any idea why he's doing it?
You know, I've been asked these questions before. I ran against DA Bragg in 2021. We have, you know, stark differences as we view the criminal justice system. But I'd like to think that Alvin Bragg is a decent human being. I can't opine on why this case is going forward and so many others aren't. And to some extent, look, you know, from my position, I got a case to defend, and I'm not doing my client any favors by, you know, pontificating on why a case may be going forward.
You don't want to bash.
But as I said before, you know, I do still hold out hope, and maybe aspirational, it probably is, that, you know, somehow there'll be an off ramp here.
Well,
I don't know what that is.
He's going to be embarrassed, but I don't think Brad cares at this point. I mean, he's been the worst district attorney in the history of this city. And it's not even close, by the way. The amount of horrific crime on his watch. I mean, you're looking at, you know, we're being compared to Haiti here in New York City. That's how violent and bad the city is at this point.
We saw that. We saw that just last night. And I'm if the two sides of the political spectrum can't agree on anything else, can we at least come together now with the death of a hero NYPD cop in cold blood in Queens yesterday, and come together and say, look, you know, this progressive new age criminal justice experiment just doesn't work. And let's put it in the ash heap of history and move on. And we'll argue about everything else there is to argue about in the world.
That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. These people will never admit a mistake ever. And I know that from, you know, 25 years of experience. All right, Counselor, we really appreciate your time. It's nice of you to come on and explain the case to the international and national audience who may not be up to speed on it. And please keep us posted every step of the way. I do think there is a good chance that this will not go to trial. It's a guess, but Bragg, if he loses this case, it's just going to be a very embarrassing. That's going to be the final nail for him. And I think he knows that. But I could be wrong. All right, Counselor, thanks again. We really appreciate it. Okay, so very disturbing because I live here. I live here. And I see it and I know it. And I know the cops. And I know people in the DA's office. And I know people in Albany. And I see it. It's so bad. I can't tell you how bad it is. Is it as bad as San Francisco? No. But it's approaching.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arcseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Joining us now from Florida, Bernie Goldberg. You know him. You love him. Well, you might love him. And some people do. Some people don't. It's dicey, as they say. Anyway, he runs BernardGoldberg.com. And I have a beef with that website that I'm going to tell you about after the interview. So.
A beef with the website?
I do. And I'm going to lay it on you in a little while.
My mind is going to Not the whole time we talk here.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Okay. You'll be able to handle it. So, Ronna McDaniel, I saw some of your coverage, John. I mean, you know this is ridiculous. But the bigger story, and I talked about this for an hour with Sean Hannity on his radio program today. We have it on BillO'Reilly.com. Is that NBC News will never come back from this. It's like CNN. Remember when CNN was a trusted source of news information? All over the world. That's gone. All right, it's the lowest rated news agency on television now. And they destroyed themselves by hating Trump. NBC now is going to follow CNN. Or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong in this regard. There's a big difference, a very big difference, between whether NBC should be hurt by what it did to Ronna McDaniel, which was horrible, and whether they actually will be hurt. Liberals, progressives, and other Democrats aren't angry over what NBC did to Ms. McDaniels. They're not angry at all. They're happy about what NBC did to her. They're cheering about it. So, of course, NBC should be tarnished by what it did, by publicly humiliating her. Of course, they should be damaged and tarnished and all that, but I don't think they will be.
Well, wait a minute, though. You're talking about MSNBC, which programs exclusively for far-left loons. That's yeah. all they do. NBC News, this is Lester Holt, the Today Show, okay?
Right.
Dateline. They're going to be tarnished with the same brush here because the same executives that run that assassinated, you know, figuratively speaking, Ronna McDaniel. You haven't heard a word from Lester Holt or the women on the Today Show.
And you're not going to.
Right. Believe me, you're not going to. But anybody consuming information has to have some sort of awareness. And NBC is just going to be linked now because their own executives did this. There's no delineation between MSNBC and NBC. NBC News executives did it. Now it's going to be, oh, yeah, they're the left-wing network. And so you're writing off at least 50% of the country in potential viewership.
I think you're wrong about that, too, respectfully, Bill. And I think you're wrong because we're news junkies. We follow the news because that's what we do. I think ordinary Americans, and I use the word ordinary in the best sense, not in some pejorative sense, ordinary Americans don't think what Lester Holt does has anything to do with what Rachel Maddow does or what Morning Scarborough does or any of the others. I think ordinary Americans who go about their lives, who aren't political junkies or news junkies, watch Lester Holt because they think he's a good anchor. They like him, whatever it is.
I disagree.
But I don't think there's any association.
And you know, when George Stephanopoulos at ABC attacked Nancy Mace with the rape thing, there was big trouble at ABC News because of that. Big trouble. Because ABC realized that people watching that interview were going to say, I've had enough. And I'm telling you, and we'll track it every month. NBC is going to be hurt by this. And they're never going to come back as a news agency for all Americans. Now
well,
I want to
say,
go ahead.
Let me say, I hope you're right.
I'm very rarely wrong. As you know. Okay. So now the bigger story is the blackball. So on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, I wrote a column, and I think you read it, that this has been going on since 2016, that anybody who supported Donald Trump or said anything good about Trump at all was banished from not only news coverage on the networks, but entertainment coverage, late night coverage, morning coverage, whatever it may be. You were not welcome. This was not an accident. This was by design, and it's exactly the same thing that happened in the 1950s with the communist witch hunt. And interestingly enough, CAA, the big talent agency in Hollywood, dropped Ronna McDaniel as a client. Why? Why would they drop her? She didn't do anything. So they took her on. She signed a 2-year deal for hundreds of thousands of dollars. They took their commission. And then as soon as she got thrown overboard by NBC, CAA drops her. You know why they did it? I'm going to ask you. You know why they did it?
I do. It may not be why you think, but you go first.
No, you go first.
I think there's a broader issue than Ronald McDaniel. It's about how liberals have forgotten how to be liberal. These liberals you're talking about aren't liberals in the old sense of the word, meaning open-minded. We respect your right to say things, even if we disagree with them. These are illiberal liberals.
Then why would they take her on in the first place? Okay, they knew that she was former head of the Republican National Committee, and she sided with Trump in the election stuff. They knew it. They took her on anyway, and as soon as she gets in trouble, they dump her. Here's why they dumped her. Because a lot of their clientele, about 90% of it, is exactly the category that you described. They're happy about it. And they, CAA, didn't want to continue to represent her if they're going to lose clients, left-wing movie stars, TV people. So they said, get rid of Ronna. That's why they did it.
Yeah, I don't want to go overboard with an exaggeration here, but these are Stalinist liberals.
You bet. That's not an exaggeration. That's exactly, and not only Stalin, but Mao, Hitler, the same playbook.
It's one thing if conservatives did that, because conservatives never had the reputation of, we're open-minded. Liberals brag about that BS. Liberals are so damn sanctimonious that they brag about how open-minded they are. And then we have all this. This makes
censorship,
them look like idiots.
Blackballing.
Anybody with an open mind.
Look, the cancel culture is solely in the left-wing precincts. That's who invented it. All right, let's get on to your website. So I'm perusing Goldberg's website, you know, and this is to show you what kind of exciting guy I am. So I'm on Goldberg's website, and he's got a guy yelling about me, criticizing me, saying O'Reilly's arrogant. He said that if he had still been in the chair at 8 o'clock at Fox News, the Dominion lawsuit never would have happened. And instead of defending me, Goldberg, your first line is, Bill can get a little arrogant. Come on, you should have been all over that guy.
I didn't have anybody on the quote-unquote air. It was a commentator. You're wrong about everything you're saying today. Here's one. This guy posted a comment under a column that I wrote, a column that probably attacked liberals, and you'd agree with it. And he had a comment about you. Am I supposed to shut him down?
No, you're supposed to say you're ridiculous because what O'Reilly said was true, because he did the same thing. He did exactly.
What was the second sentence after I said that Bill can be seen as arrogant at times?
I don't know. You wandered off into you didn't address it. You wandered off into Bernie land. But what you could have said, if you had remembered, was that I, your humble correspondent, completely shut down the Barack Obama bogus birth certificate stuff on the Fox News channel. I did it single-handedly by sending people to the two newspapers in Honolulu who simultaneously on the same day printed the birth announcement. It would have been impossible to fake that. And that was the end of it, okay? So you could have said, I think you're wrong here. Bill has done this in the past, shut down crazy conspiracy theory.
I did not say he was right.
No, you didn't say anything. You were Pontius Pilate. You washed your hands of it.
I threw him a bone and I said, I could see where some people might think that.
Are you telling me?
You can't tell me with a straight face that you don't think some people might think you're arrogant.
There's no validity to it.
Right now, I'm thinking you're arrogant.
Look, they can think whatever they want about me, and I don't care. But when I specifically say something like the Dominion thing never would have happened, everybody knows that's true. I got no pushback from anybody at Fox News. None. Okay? Because they know that never would have happened. That cost them $1 billion by not having me there at 8 o'clock. But anyway, I wanted people to know that I do go to your website, and I'm scolding you for not defending me in a more fact-based way, because I know you criticize me when you think I'm wrong, and that's why we like you. All right, so it's BernardGoldberg.com. How easy is that? If I don't talk to you again.
I want to emphasize before we go, the second sentence after I said some people might see Bill as arrogant, I said Bill is a loyal friend. Loyal was the key word. You don't think that's a big deal?
No, I do, and I appreciate the compliment, but it had nothing to do with the accusation. It had nothing to do with this man. I think that you should try to guide your followers into a better place. That's what I'm saying. I want you to guide them.
Now I get it.
All right, Bernie Goldberg, everybody. Make him happy.
Let me apologize. I got to apologize. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. I said that some people might see you as arrogant.
It's beyond belief.
What I was thinking, Bill.
Hey, if I don't talk to you again, happy Passover. Enjoy it down in Florida.
And a very happy Easter.
Thank you, Bernie. Okay, I'll be on Cuomo News Nation tonight, 8 o'clock. I don't know what the hit time is for me, but it's 8 o'clock show, and I'm sure the NBC thing will come up. All right, let's go to President Obrador in Mexico. Thank God he's out in September. He can't run again. He's gone. Now, I don't know whether Obrador is taking money from the cartels. I know people around him are. Okay? This guy is a socialist, communist. All right? He doesn't like the United States. He is helping the drug cartels sell narcotics and smuggle migrants into the United States. Obrador helps them. So in 60 Minutes, he was confronted. Go.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico, and the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
But there is drug consumption in Mexico.
But very little.
So why the violence then in Mexico?
Because drug trafficking exists, but not the consumption.
Well, that's a bunch of bull. But Obrador was forced by Donald Trump to close the border. Trump said to Obrador, if you do not put Mexican troops on the Guatemalan border and the USA border, okay, if you do not, then we're going to raise tariffs through the roof on Mexican goods. And we're going to slow everything down the border. So Obrador folded, had to do it. First day in office, as you know, Biden threw all of that out the window. But Obrador is a villain. He is right about drug consumption in the USA. As you know, I don't feel sorry for most drug addicts. I have compassion for those who are trying to get off the narcotics and the booze. And I do give money to charities that help them do that. But if you are an active alcoholic or drug addict, you are hurting not only yourself, but this country. I have no respect for you. But there's plenty of drug consumption in Mexico. All right, Donald Trump getting involved in the Israeli situation. He does an interview with some Israeli press at Mar-a-Lago. Yesterday it was released. Here's what he said. Go.
You have to finish up your war. You have to finish it up. You got to get it done. And I'm sure you'll do that. And we got to get to peace. You can't have this going on. And I will say, Israel has to be very careful because you're losing a lot of the world. You're losing a lot of support. But you have to finish up. You have to get the job done.
Okay, but that's not that easy because Hamas won't release the hostages. You know, if they're not going to release the hostages, you can't have a ceasefire.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Smart Life. Okay. A survey of 2,000 American adults by one poll finds that two-thirds of us, 67%, are stressed out when we eat in a restaurant. I believe it. Okay? 48% are more likely only to eat out after they get paid. So the prices are high. You know how crazy the prices are. And the people going to the restaurants feel guilty because they don't have enough money to get by, yet they're going in. So here's Smart Life. And I've said this before, I don't want to be repetitive, but this is a good strategy. I think that we all should get a break and go to a restaurant that we like that has good food. I don't go to the ultra expensive places. Once in a while for business, I have to, but in my own time, I never do. All right, I got my own places that are, I can live with that, the pricing. If I do go to an upscale restaurant, Smart Life, number one, I do not buy booze. It's $15 a pop. You're crazy. I don't drink anyway, but even if I did drink, I wouldn't buy a $15 drink. Okay. Number two, just a Sprite is $6 or $7. I drink water, and it's fine. Many times I will order two appetizers, and that's more than enough food. So you get two nice appetizers instead of an appetizer and an entree. Never dessert. I got a Carvel down the street. If I want dessert, I whip in there. I got 18 Dunkin' Donuts around here. So picking up dessert on the way home is not a problem. If I want it anyway, but I'm cutting the sugar down. But anyway, if you do two appetizers and water, and you get a little bread or whatever it may be, you should be satisfied there. And you'll cut your bill down 30, 40%. Now, they're not going to like you very, but tip well, okay, if you go in and do that. Smart Life. Okay, so here's a final thought of the day. The mug self-reliance, in order to have self-reliance, you have to have two things, discipline and self-awareness. So if you make a mistake, you got to own up. Now, a lot of people won't do that in our narcissistic age. You know them. Never admit a mistake, ever. No matter what, no matter how much evidence there is, will not. And then when they're caught, they make excuses. Well, so-and-so did something worse, or I was under the influence of LSD. I mean, you know, excuses, you know, rationalizations. So anyway, I'm walking into a diner and have breakfast this morning, and the door opens, there's a little stairs like this, and a family comes out. So there's three kids, mom and a dad, typical American family. Well, the kids wham down the stairs, on the stairs already, okay, almost knocking me over. I'm a big guy, so I wasn't in any peril. But they're like this. And it was like, what are you doing blocking my way? Now, they were younger, so I didn't say anything. But I expected the parents to say something. No. So I kind of look at the father like this. He looks away. He knew. Awareness. Now, you can't expect the kids to be aware of anything unless you teach them to be aware. So, for example, when an elevator door opens, you let the people inside the elevator get off first. And that makes sense. Okay, but how many times have you seen people go in while there were people in the elevator? When there is an elderly senior citizen going up against the door and you're right there, you open the door. I open the door for everybody. If I'm in a position and there's a bunch of people, I just yank the door open and everybody goes in, okay? Because I'm aware that that gets people moving quicker than everybody having to close and open, close and open. This is called self-awareness. But you also have to be aware of other people and their feelings. So you can hurt people's feelings and you don't even know about it, right? But you can read it if you care. And that's the key. So if you care about yourself, You want to be operating at the highest level. That's self-reliance. If you're dependent on anybody, that's not the highest level. And you're going to get hosed. 90% chance if you are dependent upon another person or the government, you will get hosed. And I mean bad. If you're dependent on yourself and you protect yourself and build, you know, protective measures like a nice bank account, things like that, you're going to be far better off. But in order to do that, you got to be aware. How many of you have elderly parents that are broke? I had to support my mother for 15 years, and I was happy to do it. I'm of the Japanese philosophy where the elders are venerated. That's my philosophy. I was happy to support my mother. Kept her in the home, whatever she needed, it was there. At the end, 24-hour care in the home. I didn't have to put her in a facility. But I knew that I would have to budget for that years before because I wasn't always thinking about myself. I was thinking about awareness. It was awareness of my life, my situation, others around me. There's a key. And you know what the shame of it is in America? It's not taught anymore. It's all immediate gratification. Wear it, me, my, you know, I got to have this, I got to have that. Oh, no, I'm not going to save. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to deprive myself. I'm going to, man, you're going to get it. And, you know, your parents, your elderly parents or whatever, I mean, what do you got to think. So anyway, this is a lecture. It's Holy Week, and I decided to do it. Awareness, very important to self-reliance, very important to your life. If you start now, then you'll see a big turnaround fast. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow.